Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network between North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, South Dakota. Also on demand at sportingjournalradio.com. And you can subscribe to our podcast and iTunes as well. All right, this week we're going to talk about walleye fishing and ice conditions on Lake of the Woods with Joe Henry. We'll talk about how the ice is faring on Devil's Lake with Lucas Mertens. Plus, he shot an absolute stud during the deer season this year. We'll tell you how big that was coming up and just how his hunting. He also hunted up in Alberta recently. We'll talk about what it's like to deer hunt in Alberta. We got Matt Soberg from the Rough Grouse Society to kind of give us an update on what rough grouse hunting has been like here later in the season, and then also hunted in New England and just how what differences there are between hunting in New England and hunting in, say, Minnesota and Wisconsin. But first, we're going to go up to that Brainerd Lakes area, central Minnesota, to check in with Jamie Dittman here on Sporting Journal Radio. Jamie, how are things?
Very good.
How you feeling? Everything better?
Everything's better. Going good. Got some hunting under my belt. It's beautiful out. Wearing a Hawaiian shirt. It's great.
Well, it's interesting. You know, everything froze up early, and then it warmed back up, and then it got cold, and it warmed back up. And by all accounts, there really isn't a lot of safe ice out there right now, is there?
No. It's this year, the ice is, you know, with the wind, they've kind of frozen, broken, and there can be good ice right next to just skim ice. So we're just holding off on ice fishing here for another week.
Well, it's probably good, of course. Most people have heard about the sad story coming from Red Lake where that Melissa from Princeton and Zeth from Stacy, Minnesota, put their four-wheeler through the water and ended up drowning there on Red Lake. So sad story. And it's so tough because people want to get out there. The fishing is good. And in some areas, there was some good ice. But I just don't trust it this early in the year, Jamie.
No, and we've talked, you know, being in the fishing industry stuff, I don't want to go out and catch some fish and say, hey, you know, ice fishing's great and have somebody else go out because everybody else is catching fish and fall through. So we're just not even doing it yet. We're just, you know, just keeping quiet and just wait till we get good ice. Then we can get out.
You ever put a wheeler through the ice or broken through?
Oh, yeah. Yep. It's fast, you know. Luckily, whenever I have done stupid things in my life, I've gotten out good, and it was during the day. And but every year I get older, I do a few less stupid things in my life. So,
so I mean, was it deeper water when you've gone through?
No, it was relatively shallow. I've fallen through walking also up on Winnie, and went over my head that time.
Ooh.
Luckily, got pulled out by the hood of my jacket.
Wow.
But you know, I used to be the guy out there plowing on rental houses on a little bit of ice wearing a life jacket.
Hmm.
But it just ain't worth it anymore.
So like Eric Osberg said the other day from the Outdoor Report, you know, if you are going to wear a life jacket, don't use one of the self-inflating ones. Use one of the regular life jackets because the self-inflators don't work when it's, what, below a certain temperature?
Yep. And, you know, I wear a floating ice suit. And, you know, in today's world, they're the same price as any other suit. They're comfortable. They float. So why not wear one? I'm no way want to advertise any product in the light of this happening.
Right.
But that's something I wear now, and you got to have ice. If you have a suit, you have to have ice picks.
Sure.
Because it doesn't do any good to float if you can't get off that water. And I've tried rolling off the ice, or onto the ice, and you got to have ice picks to get back on.
Talking with Jamie Dittman here on Sporting Journal Radio about early ice safety and the lack of it. I mean, we'll get a report from Devil's Lake and Lake of the Woods coming up. But Jamie, I drove on Tuesday. I drove from, you know, out by Lac qui Parle into the Twin Cities. And I kind of wound my way through Howard Lake, Waverly, Atwater in there. And almost all the sloughs were wide open or half open. Howard Lake didn't have a stitch of ice on it anywhere. So I have a feeling we lost a lot of ice.
Yeah, we had that heat, and with 30-mile-an-hour winds every day, you get a little spot that open, and it just tears it. So you're going to have, you know, now you're going to have 5 inches of ice in a lot of spots right next to an inch when it does freeze.
Well,
and I did see an aerial photo of Red Lake yesterday, and there's a lot of bad spots.
I bet. It's just not worth it. And you know what? There's still a lot of hunting season left.
Yeah.
We don't have to go fish. We got plenty of time to fish. All right. That's what people keep asking me. Oh, are you excited about ice fishing? I say, yeah, I am. But you know what? I got another month of pheasant and grouse hunting. I got to do some bow. I haven't even bought my bow tag yet. I got to do some bow hunting yet. And, you know, there's a lot of hunting to be done. And you can only just have a short window for that stuff. So I got to dedicate this time of year for hunting. And speaking of hunting, there's a pretty neat story coming out of North Dakota. You know, where I'm at up here by Lac Parle, Jamie, we've been seeing moose around this year. And I've been talking to the biologists, and apparently there's a moose spotted around here every year, which I just think is crazy. But it seems like this year there's been multiple moose spotted, which seems like it's a little out of their home range. And when you think about moose in North Dakota, just kind of roaming the prairie, you know, in a cornfield or a bean field, it just seems out of place to me, but they're there. And there's actually some good ones. And I shared a picture on the Sporting Journal Radio Facebook page of Kayla Odegaard from Grand Forks. She shot a real nice bull moose between Rock Lake and Sarles, North Dakota. And so the moose tags in North Dakota, Jamie, those are like once in a lifetime tags. So just drawing the tag is impressive. But being able to draw the tag and fill it with a nice big bull moose like that with her bow, I think that's an unbelievable story.
Well, and I always thought that about North Dakota too, but I was actually out in Minot the other day and we were hunting and yeah, we saw a moose and my buddy that lives out there, so we see moose all the time out here.
Sure.
And it's just weird, you know, I'm like, there's a moose in a field.
I've seen them in North Dakota a lot too, like when we're snow goose hunting and things like that. And it just seems so out of place growing up in Minnesota. When you think of moose, you think of Ely, you know, or the Boundary Waters up there in the Canadian Shield country, in the Pine country. And to see a moose, yeah, standing out in the middle of the prairie, just it just seems odd to me.
Yeah.
But pretty cool stuff. Anyway, Jamie Dittman, our guest, you talked about hunting out there in Minot, and that was a trip you were taking going out to Montana to do some more deer hunting. How many times you been to Montana this year, Jamie?
Well, see, so my first year I went out, and at the end of the season, I killed a cow elk, and it was 27 days. Last year, it was roughly 10 days, and all I killed was a mule deer. So this year, I've got 3 days in Montana, and I got my elk and my mule deer. So I have way more time driving than I do in Montana.
And then you went back out with some friends and did some deer hunting again last weekend?
Yep. We went out last weekend, and we were in Montana for 4 hours, and we came home with our deer. So I'm getting her down.
Drove out, got your deer, got them quartered, and back in the truck on the way home in 4 hours.
Yeah, we were back home that night at 9 o'clock.
That's crazy.
So felt pretty fortunate. I didn't go for any kind of trophy. You know, I had a day to do it, and being I was down for a few weeks, I knew I couldn't get enough time in to scout and find a nice one to get. And so I just took the opportunity on the first decent buck I saw, and unfortunately got a good shot and it dropped in his tracks, and we were on our way home.
Are you going to be buying any beef this winter?
No, we have. Yeah,
Did you have to buy an extra freezer?
And I happened to get some moose the other day also, because a buddy of mine was out in Maine on a moose hunt, and
really?
He stopped by and gave me some moose. So.
Oh, man. Well, I'll be right over. Let's have a wild game feed at James. So with all this meat, do you do a lot of different things? Do you do mostly steaks? Do you do burger? What do you like to do with it all?
Well, like on the elk, we got, I think, 35 packages of steaks for two of us in a package and six roasts and 54 pounds of burger. So, you know, I kind of value the elk burger for just burgers because it's so good. Sure. But now, you know, we've kind of looked at it like, well, now we make elk tacos and elk chili and elk, you know, it's kind of replaced burger now.
54 pounds. That is, I got to shoot an elk. That's a lot of meat. That's a lot of meals right there.
And you value that meat when you carry every ounce of it out on your back.
I bet. I bet, for sure. Well, Jamie Dittman, Branded Lakes area, are you doing some winter guided fishing this year?
Yep, we're just doing portable trips, go out on snowmobile or vehicle once the ice gets good enough, and then go out on portables on different lakes, kind of keep mobile that way and get to the good spots.
Just call S&W?
Call S&W Bait, and... you know, if everybody's excited about ice fishing, we'll be at the ice show this weekend.
Oh, right.
Come down there and check out some stuff. There's a lot of cool new products out this year, and hang out and talk about fishing.
Where are you going to be at the ice show?
We'll be at the Striker Ice booth and at Otter Outdoors, the fish houses.
Very good. Jamie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Coming up, we're going to talk to Joe Henry, get a Lake of the Woods fishing report. We'll see what the ice conditions are like out there. We've also got Matt Soberg on the way, who's going to talk rough grouse and rough grouse society. And then Lucas Mertens coming up before the end of the show from Haybale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake. How is the ice on Devil's Lake right now? Or how much ice is left, maybe we should say. We'll find out from Lucas. Plus, he shot an absolute giant. You can see the picture on the Sporting Journal Radio Facebook page. And then we'll be able to find out just how big that buck is coming up later here in the show. This is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Haybale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Haybale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. You are listening to Sporting Journal Radio, heard on the Sporting Journal Radio Network across Minnesota, North Dakota, and Wisconsin. Also on demand at sportingjournalradio.com and podcastable and subscribable in iTunes. All right, we're going to head up to Lake of the Woods, where not only is it a great fishing destination, of course, and snowmobiling and duck hunting and grouse hunting, but farming? We're going to find out more with Joe Henry right now from Lake of the Woods. Joe, how are things?
Things are awesome, Brett.
Well, I want to get an ice conditions report and kind of talk about what's going on at the lake up there right now. But farming isn't always something you think about when you think about Lake of the Woods. And there's a pretty interesting event coming up there, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. You know, people don't realize that, you know, certainly fishing is number one up in Lake of the Woods County. There's no doubt about it. The walleye capital of the world, right?
That's
people
right.
Don't even know there's farming. But, you know, we have actually 40,000 acres of agricultural land in our county, and farming is really big. I mean, there's a number of crops that our farmers farm up there. Everything from ryegrass to canola, soybeans, sunflowers, and the list goes on. And interestingly enough, we're one of the major producers of ryegrass seed, which, you know, ryegrass seed is, if you go golfing down in Arizona and you golf on one of the better golf courses, chances are the grass that's growing on that Arizona golf course came from Lake of the Woods County.
Really?
Yeah. So but our farming tradition is very, very deep and very rich. And, you know, there's something called the World Plowing Competition. And what it is 32 countries compete in this competition. And what it is they're judged on different aspects of plowing, where you actually have a tractor and a plow that goes behind you that curls over the soil. And there's a number of criteria that these people are judged on, the competitors. It's everything from straightness to how well they curl the soil over, weed removal, a number of things. And it's a big deal. I mean, 32 countries participate. They are in Kenya this year for the competition. Next year in 2018, they're in Germany. And in 2019, they actually, they're coming to the United States, and we put our hat in the ring, and my goodness, if we didn't get the nod. So we're hosting, Lake of the Woods is hosting the World Plowing Competition in end of August in 2019.
Kenya, Germany, Lake of the Woods.
And then Russia.
Russia. Wow. So how did you, I'm assuming you were involved in getting that competition to come there. How did you hear about it?
Well, you know, I have a friend who has a brother who's a world competitor, and I kind of learned about it. And I learned that, you know, they were looking for a location, and, you know, we got involved with conversations and site inspections and started pulling up maps of agriculture. We worked with a lot of our local farmers to identify a land that could be suitable for the competition. We had to look at soil types, drainage, They need two different types of crop styles in order to plow. There's got to be ample competition land and practice land. I mean, Brett, a lot of these competitors will actually ship their tractor and their plow in a container across the ocean for these competitions. I mean, it's some serious stuff, and you know, it's probably no different than if you're into fishing tournaments, or I mean, everybody's got their thing, and of course these men and women have are really into this, and this is their hobby, their pastime.
Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about Lake of the Woods and plowing. And you think about plowing nowadays, a lot of these guys, he can jump in a tractor and you know, the GPS kind of does a lot of the work, but that's not the way it works in this competition.
No, you can't use any kind of technology like that. You know, this is kind of more of the old fashioned type plowing. I mean, the competition and the organization was formed back in like 1954. And, you know, to give an example, when one of these competitors is plowing a 100-yard stretch, all by their own eye, at the end of that 100-yard stretch, they might be off a quarter inch.
Wow.
I mean, and that's on top of a number of other criteria that they're working on along the way. It's not just straightness. I mean, there's about 10 different criteria, and they have a lot of things going on. But I mean, these people that do this kind of plowing, I mean, they're professionals. That's why they're at the world level. And you know, it's not as popular in the United States as it is in like Canada and Europe. I mean, over in Europe, in Ireland, for instance, they have competitions going on just about every weekend that people will travel to, and it's well attended, and it's kind of a big deal.
Well, they like to see how straight they can dig a hole. We like to see how much horsepower we can get out of our tractors here in the United States. So this is the first time it's been in the United States since 1988. Is that right?
Since 1988, yeah, because it rotates to different countries, yes.
All right, very cool. And that'll be end of August 2019, Lake of the Woods. Joe Henry, our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio. So let's get back to fishing because, as we know, there was there's been a tragedy with people going through the ice. There's been a lot of wheelers breaking through. There was that picture that we had on Sporting Journal Radio, that ice, that big wheelhouse that went through the ice real early in the year. And then I drove from out in that Lac Qui Parle area, Joe, to the Twin Cities on Tuesday, and there was open water all over the place. And, yep. You know, we're all excited to do some ice fishing, but it's still early again, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and I should say too, none of the incidents that you're referring to happened on Lake of the Woods. They were all on different lakes, not Lake of the Woods. But you know what? It's all about safety this time of year. Any time of the year, it's about safety. And you know, I can tell you on Lake of the Woods, I mean, we've had ice building up, and then the wind comes up, and it's big water, and you know, that ice gets heaved up, and it gets blown back out, and now you have more open water again that wasn't there yesterday, and you know, You got to know what you're doing. And, you know, sometimes on social media, when I say, you know, you'll hear me say a lot on our Lake of the Woods Tourism Facebook page, work through a resort, follow their trails, don't deviate. You know, sometimes guys will hammer me, you just want us to go pay that road fee or that fee to the resort. And, you know, truth be known, that's farthest from the truth. The truth is that people don't realize these resorters are marking trails up at Lake of the Woods. And when they do mark a trail, they're making sure that trail is safe. They check it every morning before people get a chance to drive on it. Sometimes they're putting water on it to build it up. Sometimes they're bridging cracks or rerouting a trail. There's a lot of reasons for staying on a trail and following the rules of the resort. And it's just too early right now, at least on Lake of the Woods it is. Like I said, Brad, we've had ice and then now open water. We had a real strong south wind the last couple of days here, and that busted things open again. And, you know, hey, we're still going to be okay. We got really, really cold air coming next week. And, you know, we got a ton of ice out there, but it's just not stable because it's moving around. Once it gets locked up with these cold temperatures, I mean, we've had guides out fishing already. You know, local guides that know their stuff, and they've been out catching walleyes, and they found 6 to 8 inches of ice on certain parts of the lake, but it is just way too inconsistent currently.
Well, if you can't go ice fishing this weekend, maybe you could go to St. Paul and at least talk ice fishing, right, Joe?
Yeah. We're, you know, Lake of the Woods Tourism, we'll have a booth at the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show this weekend. And that's exactly what we're doing. You know, for people that come to the show, you know, a lot of times you say, hey, I want to go to Lake of the Woods, but wow, there's 60 different lodging options to stay at, whether it's a sleeper fish house, hotel, or resort. And, you know, where do we go? What part of the lake do we go to? You know, we got a group of guys, we got a group of gals, we got family members. You know, what's the best fit for what we want to do this weekend? And, you know, that's where talking to us at Lake of the Woods Tourism, you know, we represent everybody. At the same time, I think it's only right that based on who you are and what you want to do, we can help steer you in a direction that's going to fit your budget and your needs. And, you know, we also talk fishing, and, you know, we can talk about, you know, walleye patterns on the lake, typical techniques to get you started in the right direction, and then just about anything else in regards to Lake of the Woods. So it's a great opportunity, as well as, I mean, there's lots of other destinations. There's fishing tackle companies. There's fish houses, augers, Vexlar. I mean, you got a myriad of ice. If you're in the ice fishing industry, you are at this show. It's the largest ice fishing show in North America.
Wow. Yep. I've been down to it. It gets a little crazy at times. It is definitely a huge show. So Saturday and Sunday, you're going to be at the booth both days?
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Yep. All 3 days.
And what are the hours Saturday and Sunday down there?
Boy, I don't know what time it starts. I'm guessing it starts at, 8 or 9 in the morning. But, you know, jump on. If you Google St. Paul Ice Fishing Show, it's going to come up and they'll show you the hours.
You just know that you need to be there when people show up and then when people leave.
I know that I'm going to be there from morning until night until the doors are closed. Yes.
Right. And where's your booth going to be at the show?
We're on the main floor. So when you come down the escalator, we're just off to the right, a couple aisles in, and Lake of the Woods Tourism's booth will be listed in all the programs and such. And you know what? We're really happy. Hey, we're also giving away a free ice fishing trip. Riverbend Resort is donating a trip to the show. We let a different resort donate each year, and this year it's Riverbend Resort, and it's a great ice fishing trip. 4 people, 3 night, 2 day, and come sign up. Yeah, sign up for our newsletter. That's the only catch, but. A lot of people probably enjoy getting our newsletter anyway. And for that, you get a chance at this trip. And, you know, believe it or not, not that many people get entered. So it's going to be a neat, neat trip to win.
Very good. What's going on right now this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, St. Paul Ice Show. Look for the Lake of the Woods Tourism Booth. Joe Henry, thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Have a good week, everyone.
Coming up next, Matt Soberg from the Rough Grouse Society will get us an update on what rough grouse hunting is like right now and what it's like to hunt in New England. Also, Lucas Mertens shot a giant buck in North Dakota this year, and he'll give us an update on Devil's Lake ice conditions. He's with Haybale Heights Campground and Resort in Devil's Lake. That's all on the way here on Sporting Journal Radio. Hey, it's Brett Amundson from Sporting Journal Radio, also host of Prairie Sportsman TV. Check out our new season starting January 28th. Just search on your TV guide for Prairie Sportsman. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Haybale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Haybale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit HaybaleHeights.com. That's HaybaleHeights.com. Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Back, Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, on demand at sportingjournalradio.com and also in iTunes. Now that the big push of waterfowl is through the area, even if we are still stacked up with Canada geese and mallards here in western Minnesota, and the mallard season is closed, of course, it's time for me to focus on other birds like pheasants and grouse. And I haven't had much of a chance to do either lately, although this weekend I'm down in Hendricks, Minnesota with my friend Jason Markle at Bank Brewing, chasing roosters and drinking his awesome beer. But I still want to hunt rough grouse before the season is over and to see how the grouse hunting has gone now that the leaves are down. Matt Soberg joins us. He's with the Rough Grouse Society. He lives in the Brainerd area. Matt, how are things?
Not too bad. Thanks for having me today.
Now, did you get to do any duck hunting this year, Matt?
You know, I was pretty stacked up with grouse hunting, working for the Rough Grouse Society here. our October and November, they're really, really busy. But I sure miss it. I'll tell you, I grew up in West Central Minnesota over by Pelican Rapids, and we'd always wait for that late season waterfall hunt, you know, where you'd almost wait for those small ponds to freeze over so you could hunt the deeper lakes. And, you know, there were some mornings where we'd have to bust ice to get out to an island, but, you know, that's when the bluebills were flying through and flying fast, and we had a lot of good hunts back in the day.
You got to go where the birds are, and we had to actually on Sunday, the last day of the duck season here in the Central Zone last weekend, Matt, we were putting boats in, and the water was frozen, I don't know, a good 60 yards out from the access. So we actually took a couple ice saws and cut a channel through the ice so we could launch our boats, and then ended up breaking ice because it was refreezing. It was kind of an insane hunt, and shot some golden eyes, which is exactly what we wanted to do. So those are the kind of hunts that you always remember when you're breaking ice like that.
Yeah, that's good stuff. I really missed that. We used sledgehammers a couple times.
Oh, sure.
Sounds kind of crazy, but it's a great adventure, and you're exactly right. If you got to get to where the birds want to be, and if you time it right, you know, the bluebills, the northern mallards, and you get lucky, you can shoot some goldeneye too, man. That's as good as it gets.
Just got to be careful when you do it, of course. So, Matt, let's talk rough grouse. How has your season gone so far this year?
Well, rough grouse hunting in Minnesota has been rough this year, no pun intended.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, not exactly what we were expecting, honestly, but still, you know, there were some good hunts to be had around. Reports were spotty across the state. Some areas had really good hunting, good bird numbers, better than last year. Others didn't. Others were, you know, about the same as what we had last year. And so we had some high expectations following the drumming counts that came out from the Minnesota DNR in the spring. And also, we thought it was going to be an uptick on the 10-year cycle that we have with grouse populations here in Minnesota. But we didn't experience that with the hunting this fall. But still, if you worked hard, covered some ground, you know, got some dogs on the ground, you're still able to find grouse, and a lot of guys did have a good season this fall.
Everybody was excited about rough grouse hunting this fall. Of course, we've had Ted Dick on the show a couple of times talking about it because, yeah, those you mentioned the drumming counts, they were way up, up 40-some percent, or I can't remember what it was exactly, Matt. What do you think happened?
You know, that's a tough thing. I'm not a biologist by trade, and there's a lot of speculation out there from you know, hunters not having the success that they anticipated. I think, you know, in my personal opinion, I think we may have underestimated some of the rain events we had in probably late May, early June, you know, during the time when the birds are nesting. I think some of those rainstorms that we had some straight line rainstorms that came through during that time and here in central Minnesota. And I think that had an effect on the recruitment. You know, we didn't see as many juvenile birds as we were hoping to see in the fall when we were hunting.
Well, they say that's the same thing that happened with the pheasants really this year too, because we saw quite a few this spring and hunting this fall. We just haven't seen the numbers we expected to see. You can still find birds out there, and hopefully if we get the right conditions again this winter, next spring, maybe we'll get an even better season next year. And Matt, you know, you talked about the cycle a little bit too, because we're not at the top, the peak of that 10-year cycle. What are we, year seven or something like that, I think, if I remember correctly. Do you think that we could still see an increase for next year?
You know, I'm always optimistic when it comes to grouse hunting. With the cycle, you know, being at the top, you know, we could easily rebound if we have a good winter, you know, winter weather, winter snow levels, things like that affect the population. And then obviously springtime again, when the birds are nesting. So, you know, still remain optimistic. Depends on a lot of other variables, but a lot of guys hunting this year had about the same success as last year. So it definitely could be worse. And if a guy's going to hunt, you know, now is a great time to go, honestly, because I wouldn't want anybody to be discouraged with this nice weather, 40 degree temps this week, no snow on the ground.
Yeah.
There's some really good late season grouse hunting to be had around Minnesota right now.
Matt Soberg from Rough Grouse Society, our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio. You recently just got back from a trip to New England to chase grouse around. How was that?
It was a great trip, honestly. The Rough Grouse Society does what we call a grouse camp tour every year, where we spend about a week traveling through a different region in the Rough Grouse Range, and we visit chapters, volunteers, and talk to people and do a little storytelling through photos and through video on social media. And it was great. We started this year in northern New York, went to Vermont, western Massachusetts, and then ended it in a couple spots in Maine. So,
wow.
I'm a Minnesota boy. I've been here my whole life, and to see those different covers and meet those people up in New England where there's really a rich history in grouse hunting, it was a great experience, something I hope to do again sometime in the future.
Did they make fun of your accent?
They did. it happens all the time. They ask if I'm from Canada, to be honest with you. So, and I say they actually live closer to Canada there than I do here in Brainerd, Minnesota.
But, right.
Yeah.
Now, and I've never been over there, Matt, but I'd assume that the terrain, I mean, you talk about different cover, but I'm assuming that the terrain is fairly similar to, say, what we got in Minnesota and Wisconsin over here.
It is to a certain extent in terms of the forest land cover. But what's interesting about New England that we don't have here, a lot of it's reverting farmland, you know, old pastures, old farmland, where there's just a lot of, like, apple trees and fruit-bearing trees. And then old rock walls, you'll be hunting in a cover. It'll be thick as all get out. And you'll come to a little opening where there's some apple trees and surrounded by, a rock wall. And you just wonder about the history, the rich history. Yeah, and we don't see a lot of that here. And so it's pretty neat. It's kind of what you read about in some of the old Bert Stiller, all the old classic grouse hunting literature that came from New England, you know, to be able to actually hunt some of the same areas that those old authors hunted was pretty neat.
Matt Soberg, our guest from Rough Grouse Society, just about a minute and a half left here with Matt. What's going on with RGS right now, Matt?
Really, really busy, you know, kind of gearing up for we get a lot of work done in the winter months once the ground freezes. A lot of habitat projects, a lot of chapters getting out there and cutting trees kind of a good downtime once the season's done for our staff to kind of work on legislation issues, policy issues, creating relationships with government agencies and all of that good stuff. So really, even though our really busy time is in October and November, trying to deal with forest conservation is a year-round deal.
You guys going to be at any shows this winter at all?
A lot of our chapters represent the Rough Grouse Society at various regional events. I'll personally be at the SHOT Show, which is a big event for the outdoor media and advertising industry. And we'll be checking out new gear, grouse hunting gear, bird dog gear, new shotguns, things like that we can feature in our Rough Grouse Society magazine. And also things that we can feature on our website as well.
Sure. And speaking of that magazine and membership, you guys, it might make for a good holiday gift this time of year, right?
Yeah, exactly. We actually have an amazing promo going on. For the regular price of a membership for $35, you get a RGS logoed hat, mesh back hat, and a t-shirt with a cool graphic logo on the front, blaze orange, and also four issues of the Rough Grouse Society magazine that you get throughout the year. So even when it's downtime, you're not thinking about hunting, you know, it kind of keeps you in the game and in the winter and spring, kind of gets you geared up for the upcoming fall season.
And I can sign up for that right on the Rough Grouse Society website?
Yeah, it's actually a little easier than that. It's just rough.org, RUFFED.org, $35. It's a great deal, and that's going to run through early spring.
Nice. Well, I'm going to go do that today, I think. Matt Soberg, Rough Grouse Society, good luck the rest of the season, and thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Thanks for the opportunity, Brett. Have a good day.
Hey, it's Brett Amundson from Sporting Journal Radio and Prairie Sportsman. And if you want to hunt with us this fall, you can. We'll be guiding duck and goose hunts all over western Minnesota around the Lac qui Parle area. Lac qui Parle is known for its goose hunting, and this year should be no different. And with the wet conditions we've had, the ducks are everywhere. If you want to find out more information, go to midmigrationoutfitters.com. We've got pictures, videos, more information about what you need to bring and what the rates are. Visit midmigrationoutfitters.com. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, on demand at sportingjournalradio.com or subscribable and podcastable in iTunes. Well, we've had some cold weather that started freezing the lakes over. Then we had some warm weather that opened some lakes back up. It's been back and forth, and I wanted to get an update from the famous ice fishing destination, Devil's Lake. So Lucas Mertens from Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort joins us now on the radio show. Lucas, how are things?
Well, things are good. It could be a little colder, but I guess everything's good.
Yeah, you all done with the harvest? Everything is good there?
Yep, harvest is done. That was a battle. I think most guys probably listening on the radio that farm probably know that harvest is always a battle. The lakes froze up fairly early this year. That's kind of what made harvest the battle. But now we've kind of came into some warm weather and we're starting to lose our ice. So we're going to need some cold weather to pick up here.
Well, I want to talk about the lake a little bit, but you're also fresh off a trip to Saskatchewan, aren't you?
Actually, it was Alberta.
Oh, you went to Alberta. Okay. All right. Well, you went up there, what, whitetail hunting?
Yep, that's correct. I go up there, try to make a yearly trip of it. I got a real good buddy up there, Clay Charlton with Take 'Em Outfitters. And we just go up there and we hunt big old bush deer.
Did you see some big deer up there this year?
We did. Their numbers of deer are up there. They've had some nice winters. Never pulled the trigger on one. I don't know. I think maybe I just was a little too picky, but ended up sitting roughly about 100 hours in a stand and never pulled the trigger. So I guess we're going to have tag soup.
Yeah, well, let's be honest. You're probably ruined for whitetail hunting after what you shot in North Dakota this year, Lucas.
Well, I guess, yeah. I was pretty fortunate to shoot a deer of a lifetime right around home here. So I guess maybe I burned up my luck for this year.
Yeah, well, my gosh, let's talk about that deer a little bit because that thing was an absolute stud. How big was it?
Oh, he scored. He was actually an 8x7 with double drop tines. He was just shy of 196 was his score.
Oh, wow. 196. Holy smoke. So tell us about it. Did you know that deer was in the area? Had you seen it before?
Yeah, we had watched that deer most of the summer, just being out in the sprayers or, you know, out doing your farming. You seem to run into those type of deer or deer. I guess you don't really run into those type very often, but, yeah, we had known he was there, and it just the stars lined up when it all happened.
Had you seen him last year at all, or is this the first year that you realized that this buck was around?
I had never seen that deer in particular, I guess. So if he moved in from somewhere else, or if my cameras didn't pick him up, but I had never seen him before.
Lucas Mertens, our guest from Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort in Devil's Lake on Sporting Journal Radio. So tell me about it. You saw him then during the gun season this year?
Yep, during the rifle season. And he was just chasing the doe and happened to be in the right place at the right time.
How jealous were your friends and family
Oh, I think everybody's a little heartbroken when somebody shoots a deer like that.
My gosh. Double drop tines, just shy of 196. Well, great deer. Congratulations, Lucas.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's talk again about Devil's Lake. So you had some ice. It was making some ice and some warm weather. You know, we had pretty good ice around here in West Central Minnesota. And then I had a drive to the Twin Cities on Tuesday, I guess I drove over there. And there were some lakes that were completely free of ice, completely wide open. And of course, we've heard about some tragedies on Red Lake and things like that. So what's your ice like on Devil's Lake right now?
Well, I would say we do not have any fishable ice. In the last 2 days, we had a lot of wind and a lot of warm temperatures, and there's pockets that have opened up. I actually even heard some of the main lake opened up. So I just encourage anybody to just wait it out. I mean, there's no fish that's worth going out there in those type of conditions. So we're just going to need, a good week, 10 days of cold weather, you know, for that ice to be safe again, in my opinion.
Sure. And when do you typically get the guiding season going in the winter up there?
Well, typically it's after Christmas before we're taking anything, you know, of any size, like the snow bears or big side-by-sides. There's usually people walking out before Christmas, but it's at Christmas to New Year's is when we get really going, where we know we're safe and we can go wherever we need to go.
Sure. Lucas Mertens, our guest, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort, Devil's Lake, North Dakota, on Sporting Journal Radio. When you go out, do you start targeting perch right away, or is it kind of a walleye perch combination?
Oh, we'll do a combination. We'll do walleyes in the mornings and late at evenings, and perch during the days.
And is it, you know, that lake is really shallow all the way through it. Is it a depth that you try early in the season, or is it more about structure?
Well, I think it's what we usually do is kind of go off of what we did last year, what worked last year at this time. You kind of look at your notes and you go for a depth, you go for some structure, you go for some certain areas. And, you know, those first couple days you're out there, sometimes they're just a Hail Mary. Sometimes you hit them the first time, and sometimes you got to work for them a little bit. But we typically are out scouting and doing fishing at least, you know, a week or 10 days before we have any clients in.
Now, do you start with side-by-sides, or do you try to wait until the ice is thick enough to bring snow bears out?
We can do a combination of things. We have some side-by-sides if people want to go early. And then I'd like to have a good 10 inches of ice before I take the snow bears out. That way I just know everybody's safe and we don't have to worry about anybody getting hurt.
Gosh, you spoiled me completely by bringing me in that snow bear last year, Lucas, for sure. And what kind of, I mean, when people fish out of a snow bear, we should tell them what it is. It's basically like a big fish house on tracks that can allow you to go anywhere you want. We fished in 45 below zero weather last year in t-shirts. It was warm and comfortable. What kind of reaction do you get from clients when they fish out of a snow bear for the first time?
Well, most people, when they book their trips, if they don't really understand what they are, they'll be a little leery. But I guarantee once they're here and they fished out of one, they just say, hey, this is the best thing since sliced bread, and sign us up for next year.
Well, it was a lot of fun, and people can come up. They can fish out of the snow bears, and you got lodging right there at the resort too, right?
Yep, we do full packages with lodging, fish cleaning. We can do different meal packages. We take care of everything for the clients, so all they have to do is worry about having a good time.
Now, if anybody listening right now is going to be at the St. Paul Ice Show this weekend, can they stop by? And are you guys going to be there, going to have a booth set up?
Yep, we will have a booth there. We'll be upstairs. We'll be booth 1426. It's right around where they have all the seminars and stuff. People want to stop in and talk shop or see what we have to offer, or just, you know, want to check on what the lake's doing. I encourage them to stop in and visit.
Do you bring a snow bear with you?
Well, there's a snow bear has a booth there, so they'll be able to, if they're really interested, we could take them down there and actually show them exactly what we're talking about.
Oh, nice. And of course, we went up and did some filming up there last winter. We got a video you can watch on the Sporting Journal Facebook page too, Sporting Journal Radio on Facebook, and see what it's all about to go up to Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Lucas Mertens, our guest here, just a couple of minutes left here on Sporting Journal Radio. I just want to touch on that trip to Alberta, that deer hunting trip that you took up there again that you just got back from. You've been going, how many years have you been going up there?
I've been going up there for 5 now.
What? Logistically, what kind of a trip is that? How easy of a trip is that to do?
Well, everybody thinks that when we go up there, it's actually a vacation, but it's actually a lot more work than a person thinks. we're hunting cut lines and we're hunting, you know, up in the forest up there. So it's a lot of hours in a stand, and you just are, you know, they're setting out cameras for you, and we're working scrape lines and doing different things. But it's a lot of work, but the reward can be huge. I've shot some really nice deer out of there, and it's just for people who like the whitetail hunt, I think it's the ultimate way to go up there and shoot a whitetail.
Yeah, I've had a few friends that have gone up into that neck of the woods up there, and you know, they usually shoot some big deer, and they see a lot of deer and see usually a lot of big deer while they're up there. Now, did you fly up there?
No, we drive. It's about a 13-hour drive for me personally. So it's a good day on the road. And then we start hunting the next morning, and it's just a great time.
Did you bring your own gun up?
Yep, we bring our own guns up. Going through customs for us is fairly easy. I know I've heard some different stories about people flying. The airport seemed to be a little bit tougher, but typically, if you have all your paperwork and your ducks in a row, you can cross the Canadian border fairly easy.
Then when you do shoot a deer up there, how tough is it bringing the meat back or bringing the cape back, things like that?
Well, for being in the vehicle, it's not hard at all. We just got to make sure everything is tagged properly and that there's no brain matter, skull matter and that. And you come in, you have to fill out some forms. I'd say it's a 15-minute process, and you're on your way.
Well, I'm pretty excited. We're going to do a trip to Canada next year. It might be a waterfowl trip, but I'd like to get up there and shoot some whitetails one of these years, too. Lucas Mertens, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort, guided ice fishing on Devil's Lake out of a snow bear. If people want to get up there, they can either stop by and book a trip at the St. Paul Ice Show this weekend. Is that right?
Yep, that's correct. They could stop by the booth, 1426. We'll be booking trips right then and there. I think we're going to offer a 5% discount for anybody who books a trip during the show. And or if they want to call me direct, 701-351-3130. Or they can go on our website, haybaleheights.com, and check out everything that's going on.
HayBaleHeights.com. Lucas Mertens, congratulations again on that giant whitetail from North Dakota, and thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. To listen to this show again, get the latest hunting and fishing news and more, visit SportingJournalRadio.com.